The House will come to order. The flag salute will be led by Representative Jean Cowan.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please remain standing. Our opening ceremonies will be presented by Pastor Steve Sheenwerk, who is the pastor of Community Baptist Church in Winston, guest of Representative Wisnett.
Would you pray with me? Great and awesome God, you have granted us the privilege of living in interesting times. You have granted that we might have an unprecedented opportunity to choose our future. The challenges we face are many, but your resources are more than sufficient. As this group deliberates the issues before them, may your Holy Spirit clarify what is true, illuminate what is right, and apply what is just. As these gifted men and women meet, may you refine our collective hopes for the future by your wisdom. As these people represent us, may your truth guide and direct their paths. O God, you who have established the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, may your unparalleled power be our strength, and may your storehouse of wisdom be our treasure. As the challenges of our day arise, may you grant your guidance to enact the laws, your authority to enforce them, and your wisdom to obey them, and may they reflect your nature. We bring these requests to you in the name of your greatest gift to us, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Courtesies, Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Honorable colleagues, I ask you today to extend courtesies of the House to Pastor Steve Sheenwerk. Steve is pastor of the Community Baptist Church in Winston, as the Speaker said, where he served since 1991. Steve, would you, he's up, and where's Megan? Well, Megan up next. Steve and his wife have two children. Joshua is a staff sergeant in the United States Air Force, and he's currently serving at Ellsworth Air Force Base. And their daughter, Megan, is my right and left-hand assistant, and I'm really glad to have her and share this work with Megan. Steve's wife is also the office manager for Winston Middle School. Steve is president of the board of the Winston Area Community Partnership. He's a commission member of the Douglas County Commission on Children and Families. That's dear to my heart. He's currently working on his doctorate of ministry at the Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Steve, thank you for your inspirational words today. And colleagues, please extend courtesies to Steve. Thank you.
Again, welcome. Thank you. We will now do our moment in Oregon history. Representative Greg Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, it's good seeing you this morning. Reuben Shipley, a slave, traveled to Oregon country with his owner in the 1850s after making a deal to trade his services on the trail for his freedom when they arrived. Once in Oregon, he worked to earn enough money to purchase his wife and children, still held in slavery in Missouri, only to learn that his wife had died. Even though African Americans were officially prohibited from owning land in Oregon, Shipley managed to buy 80 acres of land between Corvallis and Philomath for $1,500. Then he asked for Mary Jane Holmes' hand in marriage. Mary Jane was the daughter of slaves Robin and Polly Holmes, who had come west with their owner, Nathaniel Ford, in 1844, the same year the provisional government passed the Lash Law prohibiting both slavery and black settlement. Ford freed Mary Jane's parents after they had labored for years without pay, but he kept custody of their children. After one of the children died, Robin Holmes went to court to regain the other three. Oregon Supreme Court Justice George H. Williams ruled that because slavery was outlawed in the territory, Ford had no legal right to the children. He granted custody to their parents, all except Mary Jane, the oldest daughter. She remained with Ford, who demanded $700 from Reuben Shipley before he could release her. Reuben and Mary Jane Shipley raised three girls and two boys on their farm. In 1861, they deeded 2 acres for the Mount Union Cemetery, where they and their children are buried, along with some of the region's earliest abolitionists. This has been your moment in history.
Thank you. Further courtesies, Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like you to extend courtesies today to 18 young people from Sheridan Baptist School in Sheridan, Oregon. Visiting today, they're sitting in the back gallery.
Welcome to your Oregon House of Representatives. Further courtesies, Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to extend courtesies to my friend, Washington County Commissioner Desiree Strader, who's up in the balcony.
Welcome. Further courtesies, Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to extend courtesies to my intern here who's been working for us. His name is Derry Breeden. Derry is a talented young individual from Eugene. Volunteered on my campaign, through many hours of walking door to door, I discovered his talent for languages and business savvy. His family has a long history in the housing construction as Breeden Homes. Derry is trilingual. He speaks Japanese, Spanish, and English, and hopes to pursue further languages in the future as it will help his career in international business.
Further courtesies, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please welcome. We have an honorary page today, Hannah Kilborn. Thank you. From Hamilton Creek School in my district, and I just love this. Hannah put down here she wants to be the first female president. I'm pretty excited about that. She loves entomology and photography. Please welcome her to the House.
Further courtesies, Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I have 2 honorary pages today. If they'd stand when I read their names, Ethan Sutton. Ethan is from Walker Middle School. He's in the 6th grade. He is a first-class Boy Scout, a karate blue belt, don't mess with him, and a saxophone player. Wants to be a neurosurgeon. We could use a lot of that around here. And with him, Brenner Schenkel. Stand up, Brenner. He also is from Walker Middle School. I suspect they're friends since he, too, is a first-class Boy Scout and a karate blue belt. He's contemplating his career options, perhaps an engineer. I think it's presumptive of us to nail him down on this, but we welcome both of these Walker Middle School students to the chamber, and please extend them courtesies. Thank you.
Further courtesies, Representative Barton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please welcome my honorary page for the day, Nathaniel Franks. Nathaniel, will you stand up, please, at the front of the room? Nathaniel is a sophomore at Barlow High School. In addition to being an accomplished football and basketball player, he also is involved in track and the Junior Olympics. He's also the captain of the academic decathlon team, the Science Bowl. He aspires to a career in medicine. Indeed, Mr. Speaker, I would call him an all-around good kid, but Representative Greenlee informed me I'm not allowed to call anyone a kid in this building.
Further courtesies, Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today, I'd like to introduce our honorary page, Jasmine Gonzalez from Leslie Middle School. Jasmine, welcome. Jasmine is in the 8th grade, and she participates in the AVID Honors Program classes, which prepares her for college. She would like to be an animal doctor, a veterinarian, and so I am assuming you're going to go to the great school in Corvallis, Oregon State University. And she has 2 dogs, a Chihuahua and a Pomeranian, and 2 cats. Welcome.
Further courtesies, Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to welcome to the House today a group of very talented and gifted young people from the Dalles-Wetonka High School and their teacher, Mr. Jim Taylor, and mother and chaperone, Kim is here somewhere. Oh, there's Kim over there. So welcome to the House today. Thank you.
Welcome. Further courtesies, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We wanted to see if you would extend courtesies to Dulce Garcia Martinez. She's 13. She She lets us know in her little form here that she doesn't do any sports, but she does stay after school for study hall and for homework, which is an extraordinary accomplishment. Her career goal is to be a nurse, and we all know how badly we need nurses. So please welcome her and thank her for helping us today.
We extend our thanks to all our pages who are serving us and the House today. Further courtesies, Representative Wingard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please extend your courtesies to a constituent and a friend, Yvonne Flom, who's on the side aisle here. Yvonne lives in Sherwood. She has for the last 25 years. She works as a mechanical designer at Novella Systems in Tualatin, and she sits on the Finance Committee for the City of Sherwood. Thank you, colleagues.
Welcome. Further courtesies. Today we want to extend special birthday greetings. Representative Gene Cowan is turning 29. Representative John Huffman is turning tomorrow 39. Happy birthday to both of you. Clerk will now open the voting system to verify the presence of a quorum. Representative Clem is here. Representative Gilliam is here. Representative Maurer. Representative Maurer. Representative Boone is excused. Representative, quorum is established. Message from the Governor.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the Governor to inform you that he has approved and signed the following bill, House Bill 2157.
Message from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that the Senate has passed Senate Bill 75, 76, and 130.
First reading, Memorials and Resolutions.
HJM 8, urging Board of Governors of the United States Postal Service and Citizen Stamp Advisory Committee to create postage stamp commemorating 442nd Regimental Combat Team of the United States Army for service during World War II. HJR 20, proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to tax credits. SJR 15, declaring President Abraham Lincoln as Honorary Territorial Governor for February 12, 2009.
Measures read for the first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports, propositions and motions. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 2733 relating to asphaltic concrete pavement mixture. House Bill 2734 relating to gill net fishing and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2735 relating to drug policy coordinator. House Bill 2736 relating to persons with addiction disorders. House Bill 2737 relating to public land coroner preservation fund. House Bill 2738 relating to vehicles taken into custody by public bodies. House Bill 2739 relating to motor vehicle dealerships. House Bill 2740 relating to trust for cultural development and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2741 relating to inheritance tax, property money, and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 2742 relating to State Fish and Wildlife Commission. House Bill 2743 relating to State Fish and Wildlife Commission and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2744 relating to employee leave for family members of members of the military and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2745 relating to development review processing. House Bill 2746 relating to use of interpreters in real estate transactions. House Bill 2747 relating to review fees for properties in historic districts. House Bill 2748 relating to employment of public employees who do not speak Spanish. House Bill 2749 relating to amusement devices taxes and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a 3/5 majority. House Bill 2750 relating to sanitary sewer service. House Bill 2751 relating to corrections. House Bill 2752 relating to products of individuals with disabilities. House Bill 2753 relating to pawn brokers. House Bill 2754 relating to tax credits for educational expenses. House Bill 2755 relating to reinsurance. House Bill 2756 relating to higher education scholarships for language proficiency and appropriated money. House Bill 2757 relating to appropriation bills. House Bill 2758 relating to green energy technology and public buildings. House Bill 2759 relating to recordation of instruments and county records. House Bill 2760 relating to court-appointed special advocates. House Bill 2761 relating to soil information. House Bill 2762 relating to United States Armed Services Forces. House Bill 2763 relating to procurements of agricultural goods and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2764 relating to public records and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2765 relating to school finance appropriate money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2766 relating to school year. House Bill 2767 relating to school finance and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2768 relating to earned income tax credits. House Bill 2769 relating to expenditures and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a three-fifths majority. House Bill 2770 relating to registration plates for persons with disabilities. House Bill 2771 relating to small vintner exemption from wine tax prescribing an effective date and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a three-fifths majority. House Bill 2772 relating to taxation prescribing an effective date and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a three-fifths majority. House Bill 2773 relating to taxation providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a three-fifths majority. House Bill 2774 relating to taxation providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a three-fifths majority. House Bill 2775 relating to public employee retirement and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2776 relating to public employee retirement. House Bill 2777 relating to investment tax credits. House Bill 2778 relating to injury state workers and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2779 relating to motor vehicle consignments. House Bill 2780 relating to health insurance. House Bill 2800 relating to Oregon Farm to School and School Garden Program and declaring an emergency.
Bills read for the first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House Bills.
House Bill 2079 relating to personal flotation devices. House Bill 2135 relating to residential rental property smoking policies. House Bill 2190 relating to evaluations under motor vehicle liability insurance. House Bill 2194 relating to Oregon medical insurance pool. House Bill 2250 relating to liquor licenses. House Bill 2272 relating to medical support. House Bill 2275 relating to child support. House Bill 2336 relating to impeachment of witnesses.
Nice job, Obi. Bills read for the second time or passed the third reading. Consent calendar. Clerk will read the first bill in a short summary.
House Bill 2107 relating to public borrowing and declaring an emergency. Modifies maximum limit on amount of bonded indebtedness counties by incur for road improvements in unincorporated areas.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2107. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Riley, how do you vote? Riley votes aye. Representative Maurer, how do you vote? Representative Maurer. Off the floor. House Bill 2107, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Colleagues, the chair requests unanimous consent. I'm sorry. One more bill. The clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
House Bill 2195 relating to vocational rehabilitation provided in workers' compensation claims. Replace the requirement for authorization of vocational service provider organizations with requirements organizations registered with the Department of Consumer and Business Services.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2195. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barton, how do you vote? Barton votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Representative Thatcher votes aye. Representative Jensen? Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. House Bill 2195, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Now, colleagues, the chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that House Bill 2197 be taken from the consent calendar and be placed in its proper place on Monday, February 23rd, 2009 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
House Bill 2210, related to State Board of Agriculture membership, deletes qualification for public members of State Board of Agriculture.
The question now arises. Upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2210, those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 2210, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
House Bill 2259, relating to Community Action Directors of Oregon, changes name of Community Action Directors of Oregon to Community Action Partnership of Oregon.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2259. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Springer, how do you vote? Springer votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes aye. House Bill 2259, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
House Bill 2274, relating to a referral of support obligations to the Department of Revenue, modifies law relating to when Department of Justice or District Attorney may refer child or spousal support rearrangements to Department of Revenue for collection from income tax refunds.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2274. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes aye. Representative Olson, how do you vote? Olson votes aye. House Bill 2274, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
House Bill 2277, related to changes in support award when physical custody changes, provides that certain administrative orders for support may include provision for change to support award when child's physical custody changes.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2277. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Representative Call, how do you vote? Call votes aye. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. House Bill 2277, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of House bills. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2238, related to hardship permits.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2238. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, colleagues. House Bill 2238, DUI penalty for repeat offenders. It's requested by the Governor's Advisory Committee on DUI, driving under the influence of intoxicants, as a tool to help improve the effectiveness of our implied consent law in dealing with repeat DUI offenders. The committee is made up of members representing treatment, prevention, enforcement, prosecution, and courts. Additionally, members from the general public, including victims of impaired driving crashes and liaisons from related organizations, are part of the committee. This is what House Bill 2238 does. For the DUI offender who is a repeater, who refuses to take a breath test or blood test under Oregon's implied consent law will have to wait longer to obtain a hardship permit if they had taken the breath test and failed it. The current wait time of 1 year provides no incentive for the repeat offender to take the test. The goal of this bill is to reduce the number of repeat DUI offenders who refuse a chemical test. This is the problem. Many repeat offenders refuse the test under the current law because they know from prior experience that evidence from a chemical test will help convict them of DUI. As a result, many repeat offenders avoid conviction because of evidence of their impairment. It cannot be used against them in a court of law. This also means that many repeat problem drinkers also go undetected, along with the seriousness of their drinking problem, that they may also avoid needing treatment. Essentially, House Bill 2238 proposes to increase the wait time for a hardship permit from 1 year to 3 years for a repeat offender who refuses to take the breath test. In summary, this bill only changes one portion of the law. It provides that repeat DUI offenders who refuse a test would need to wait for a hardship permit for 3 years instead of 1 year.
Is there further discussion?
Yeah.
Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, a couple of you have asked me about why...
To the bill.
A couple of you have asked why I voted no on this bill in committee, and so I thought I'd just give you my rationale. In 2005, we considered House Bill 2185, which would have taken the prohibition on pursuing a hardship license from 1 year to 2 years. And it passed the House, died in the Senate. This bill takes that window from 1 year to 3 years. And for me, the question isn't whether repeat drunk drivers should be punished. They should. The key for me on this issue is, do we want to get in the way of something that is pro-social, getting to work? Do we want to make it harder for people to get to work, particularly in areas where they might not have access to the max public transportation, especially in our rural areas? And do we want to go from 1 year to 3 years with absolutely no judicial discretion on whether or not the person should be able to get a hardship license? So I was unconvinced that this would actually get in the way of people driving drunk. I was convinced that it would get in the way of people getting to work, and that's why I voted no.
Further discussion? Barker. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this is a good bill, and what this does, it does, if somebody refuses to take a breath test, they take the breath test, all's okay. The problem has come up where defense attorneys are telling people who've been convicted before of drunk driving, if you get stopped again, don't take the test. They'll make it tougher for them to convict you. This, we want people not to drink and drive. We especially don't want people to be repeat drunk drivers. The repeat drunk drivers are the ones who are killing people. The repeat drunk drivers are the alcoholics and the problem drinkers. When we heard this in committee, the defense attorney came in and explained that, gee, a drunk driver already has to pay for the classes he takes, he has to pay for this, his insurance goes up. And I asked the attorney, I said, that's interesting. Could you tell me how much the family in Eugene had to pay last week to bury the mother and three kids that were killed by a drunk driver? He said, point well taken. I don't want to make it tough for people to get to work, but I don't want drunk drivers killing our innocent citizens. We need to make that clear to them. This is, think about the victims. You'll hear that from me more than once this session. Think about the victims. This is a good bill, should pass. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none. Representative Olson, do you wish to close?
I do not.
Representative Olson does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Greenlick, how do you vote? Representative Greenlick votes no. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Representative Holvey votes yes. Representative Riley, how do you vote? Representative Riley votes yes. House Bill 2238, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2045, relating to persons authorized to make findings of impairment or rating of injured workers' disability.
Question now arises upon the reading and final passage of House Bill 2045. Representative Kennemer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2045 reestablishes a chiropractic physician's ability to rate permanent impairment for Oregon's injured workers. It restores authority that was inadvertently removed by House Bill 2756 in 2007 and allows a chiropractor that is serving as an injured worker's attending physician to make findings regarding the impairments for the purposes of evaluating the worker's disability. It comes to us with the full support of IMLAC, and it's important to note that as the musculoskeletal experts, chiropractors are very well trained in rating impairment. House Bill 2045 was passed out of the Business and Labor Committee unanimously, and I urge your support. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Kennemer, do you wish to close? Representative Kennemer does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system.
Representative Wingert, how do you vote?
Wingard votes aye. Representative Van Orman, how do you vote? Van Orman votes aye. Representative Schaffler, how do you vote? Schaffler votes aye. House Bill 2045, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2061, relating to graduation requirements and declaring an emergency.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2061. Representative Harker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, in 2005, this body passed House Bill 3129, which increased high school graduation requirements for Oregon students, a worthy goal. As of July 1, 2009, a student receiving a high school diploma from a school district in Oregon is subject to these new graduation requirements, which increase the requirements in English and mathematics. This law, if we were to pass it, would allow those students who entered high school in 2005-06 school year and were continuously enrolled in all subsequent years but are not going to complete those old requirements by July 1st of this year, giving them another year in which to complete the requirements rather than being subject to the new requirements at that time schedule. They must have entered in the 2005-06 school year, attended school during 06-07, 07-08, and 08-09 in order to be eligible. In addition, they must receive the high school diploma prior to July 1st, 2010. In the grand scheme of things, this is perhaps not the largest of issues, but for certain individuals who have been painted into a bit of a corner by the decision of the body prior to this, this is important and critically important, and I would urge you to vote aye.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Harker, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Kotek, how do you vote? Kotek votes aye. House Bill 2061, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2065, relating to corrections of erroneous material in Oregon tax law.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2065A. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill is essentially a bill for correction of statutes that have the need for minor changes. That bill of this sort is brought every session for the purpose of correcting errors. And if you look through the fairly lengthy bill, you'll see a note at the end of each section that describes what changes were made. I will note from the staff measure summary, there is a description which I've already been asked about this morning involving Vietnam missing in action. The reference in the summary is not very clear, so let me make it clear. The original bill repealed the statute that had to do with tax benefits for involved with missing in action from Vietnam. It would be because it was thought that the provision was obsolete. The military department raised the question that perhaps it may not be obsolete, so we removed that reference, that deletion, and so the current law stays in place in that regard. As far as we know, there is no substantive change in the law brought about by this bill, but it does make it a bit easier to read, and it corrects some erroneous references to statutes where there's cross-references to a statute that was repealed, and then another statute substituted, and in a couple of places there are actually corrections so that the law now means what it was intended to mean.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Barnhart, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that The bill should pass. We'll vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 2065A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2106, relating to bonds for schools and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2106. Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2106 allows school districts to select a site for large construction projects that is different from the site proposed prior to bond election if a safety improvement evaluation is made for the new site before bonds are issued for the project. This bill allows flexibility in the instance where a more desirable property becomes available for a school district to change sites after voter approval of the bond amount. The process of school siting and bonding is a rather lengthy process. It is possible that during a process, a more desirable or less expensive piece of property becomes available. This simply allows the district the option of choosing the best location for a school up to the point of issuing the bonds. One of the concerns addressed in committee was what happens if the location of the proposed school site is in the ballot measure title. In that case, the school must be sited where the ballot title indicated. This bill maintains the requirement of an evaluation for safety improvements before issuing bonds. Colleagues, this bill simply allows greater latitude to school districts in choosing the best possible location for school. I encourage your aye vote today.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Springer, do you wish to close?
I do not.
She does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Brune, how do you vote? Brune votes aye. House Bill 2106, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2161, relating to central assessment for property tax purposes.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2161A. Representative Bentz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this is a housekeeping bill requested by the Department of Revenue, and it addresses that portion of our statutes which allow and provide for assessment by the Department of Revenue of such things as railroads, air transport, gas and utilities, and pipelines. The central assessment of these types of property has occurred for more than 80 years, and the central assessment system continues to operate fairly and equitably and needs to be continued. The purpose of this bill is to remove obsolete, confusing language, references to antiquated technologies and disorganized structure. It does not constitute a change in the policies of the state of Oregon with respect to our central assessment system, nor the administration by the Department of Revenue. I would just point out that this is the kind of bill that lawyers hate because it makes things much clearer, which is unfortunate for those who live by the billable hour. And I would also note that it removed the references to horses and wagons, so whoever drafted this is not from Eastern Oregon, but I urge your support anyway. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Bentz, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 2161A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2252, relating to telecommunications and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2252. Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2252 comes to you with unanimous support of your Sustainability and Economic Development Committee. This bill has no known opposition, and I urge your aye vote. It seems like a technical bill, but it actually has an important effect for a number of Oregonians. House Bill 2252 has three components that relate to Residential Service Protection Fund within the PUC. First component would extend the sunset review provision of the fund to January 1st, 2020. If the law is not changed, the program will sunset January 1st, 2010, and many Oregonians would no longer have access to adequate and affordable residential telephone service. The Residential Service Protection Fund programs originated during the 1987 session and have had four subsequent sunset extensions. The second component of HB 2252 is to allow Oregonians in long-term and resident care facilities receiving Medicaid access to Oregon Telephone Assistance Program benefits. To do this, it is necessary to modify the definition of low-income customers that are eligible for the program. The final component of HB 2252 would allow the Residential Service Protection Fund program to loan adaptive telephone equipment to more Oregonians, which helps them use telecommunication services. The bill would broaden the criteria for the range and degree of disability eligible for this program as determined by a medical professional. This bill has no known opposition and the unanimous support of the Sustainability and Economic Development Committee. It supports Oregonians of all incomes and abilities, and I urge your aye vote for House Bill 2252.
Further discussion, Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
This is a very good bill. The only issue that I have with it is the length of time for the sunset. I really don't like long sunsets. I much prefer like six-year sunsets, but I'll be voting for the bill anyway. It's a great bill.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Bailey, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Garrett, how do you vote? Representative Garrett votes. You can use your thumb. Aye. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Clem votes aye. House Bill 2252, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2273, relating to enforcement of child support obligation by suspension of privileges.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2273. Representative Barton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2273 passed out of the Judiciary Committee with no opposition. It slightly expands the ability of the state of Oregon to suspend the driver's licenses for those who are in arrears of their child payments. We need to make this, the change what we're doing is currently Oregon already has that ability when child support payments are in arrears in ongoing cases, and this change will make it when even on all cases. This change is required to comply with a federal mandate. Council has just informed me that actually this change is required, I believe, for all transportation funds, or a very significant sum of money. I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Barton, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Representative Matthews, how do you vote? Matthews votes aye. Representative Wingard, how do you vote? Wingard votes aye. House Bill 2273, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2375, relating to fireworks business and exclusive farm use zone.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2375A. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2375A comes to you from the Committee on Land Use, and it's a bill that I want to just spend a moment talking about the reasons I'm supporting the bill. The issue is, what do we use farmland for? And we've had multiple efforts in previous sessions to be able to move the Hood River School District, wanted to move a school out onto farmland. And farmers felt that the conflicts between a school right next to a working orchard is the cause of some of the other legislation we hear in this building at different times. Other people want to move other kinds of businesses out onto exclusive farm use zoning. So they come to the legislature for special exemptions to be able to do it. Multnomah County Greyhound Racing. It's happened a variety of times over the years. So I just want to speak to the policy issue involved, which is when we do this, when we open up the EFU zone and allow people to move other types of uses into the exclusive farm use zone, it demeans the agricultural values that are in place there. So if you move a fireworks company next to a dairy farm, which is what happened in the instance behind this bill, there are conflicts that occur because the dairy cows are on one truck, the fireworks trucks are on another truck, and there's no shoulders, it's on a big curve, and there are issues that come up over time between farm usage and industrial commercial usage. That's why we have the zones. So that's the policy reason I care about this particular issue. What we do in this bill is delete the exemption for one company in Oregon who enjoys it at this point. And it says, the bill goes on to say, there are a series of conditions that if they violate any of them, change ownership, get a new mortgage, that their use is discontinued. That's the bill. The policy involved for me is about protecting the exclusive farm use zone for farming. The Oregon Farm Bureau supports this bill. I would ask for your support. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Kennemer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, this is an interesting bill, and I appreciate very much the spirit in which the carrier has discussed it. And I think that I wouldn't disagree that there is an important land use policy here. However, as the representative representing this one business that is singled out by this bill, I guess I have some serious concerns about the bill and its progressing through our body and onward. I guess my real concern is with singling out one company and reversing a conditional use permit and a public process. This is an 60-year-old business, employs about 8 full-time employees, and during the summer when fireworks are going on, it involves about 1,000 part-time people. It's sequestered in a kind of bucolic area outside of Oregon City on low-value farmland. Mostly it's good for a little bit of low-grade hay, but that's about all that farmland's worth. The red soils of Oregon City are not high-value farmland. And what occurred was back in about 83 when this facility was sited there, and incidentally, if you drove by there, you'd never see it because most of it's underground. It was a compromise. And the fire department, the neighbors, and folks agreed to its being there. And then some controversy arose. And so in 2003, Senator Kurt Schrader, state senator who represented that area at that time, now our congressman, brought a bill to the legislature to create a process, a public process for a conditional permit, a conditional use permit, and public hearings. And this business went through that public process and that hearing and was granted. Appropriately, I guess, because there was a process to follow. It met the criteria, it worked out the differences with the neighbors, and it was given a conditional use permit. I just think that when someone went to that trouble, went through the public process, they've done the right thing. I think singling them out, making it impossible to pass this business forward to family members and some of the other complications that this raises is unfair. I think it's unfair to this business. This isn't the way that we should set policy, and therefore, I urge a no vote.
Further discussion, Representative Girard.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, to the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, when we reach the end of the session, this bill will be looked back on as one of the worst bills that we have probably passed. Every year in land use, this bill comes up. We protected jobs in the past. This year, we have not. Many still in our state do not understand what the passage of Measure 37 was all about. I thank the folks who moved this bill to the floor today because you will help rekindle the spirit of Measure 37 in this state. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Representative Richardson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to clarify...
To the bill?
To the bill. I'd like to clarify that the carrier has brought forth a policy which certainly is something that is important to Oregon, and that is that we should watch out for further encroachments on usable farmland. But that's not what this bill is about. This is an established business, an established building on farmland that is not usable for commercial farming at all, and it makes no sense to say because we have the ability, we're going to pass a law that will put this building and this business out of business and take away the jobs merely because we have the power to do so. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't taste right to think that we would use the power that we have as a body to go after one business that's already established, that is functioning, especially in a time of recession, that we would say we're just going to put it out of business because we don't like the idea that it's taking place on what would have otherwise been listed as exclusive farm use. It makes no sense for us to take this kind of position, and we shouldn't do that. We should just say, no, we're not going to use the power that we have as a legislature to carve out little retaliations against one business over another. So I hope that we'll vote no on this bill.
Further discussion, Representative Thompson.
Mr. Speaker, to the bill.
To the bill.
I'm sure a number of you will recall when this was discussed in 2003 and again in 2005, one of the issues that we dealt with wasn't just the land use portion, but the safety portion. These storage warehouses for fireworks are inherently dangerous because they're packed with explosives in large quantities. We don't see that much when they're out in the little fireworks stands along the highway, but when they're congregated together in large batches, they're a public hazard that we have to deal with. One of the reasons to allow siting of this kind of a facility in rural property, even if it is farmland, is that it puts it some distance away from homes and other businesses. I'm sure you would agree with me that siting such a facility in a residential area is not likely to happen and not a good idea. It's also a dangerous plan to put something like this in an industrial zone surrounded by other business opportunities. For that reason, I would support the continuance of this program and this business because it is a safer place to put a lot of explosives than our other alternatives.
Further discussion, Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I appreciate those who have spoken on this bill. already this morning. I intend to bring out some detail of this bill, and I want to provide a little bit more history, though you've heard some. We've heard that explosives are inherently dangerous. That's not hard for any of us to understand. The federal government, in fact, recognizes that explosives could be dangerous, and they require aerial fireworks companies to be located in areas remote from others. Let that sink in areas remote from others. As the community of Canby grew and pushed against the old location of Western Fireworks Display, it simply found itself too close to those others, not yet remote enough. At the encouragement of the federal government, and with the support of Clackamas County and the city of Canby, in 1985, 24 years ago, in 1985, this isn't a new occurrence, in 1985, 24 years ago, the business moved to its current location to meet the federal requirement. This move was supported by the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and the Canby Fire Marshal approved the move as, quote, good for public safety. Clackamas County has been permitting Western Fireworks Display to store fireworks for 20 years prior to any discovery that potentially they did not have the statutory authority to provide that permit. In 2003, then-Senator, now-Congressman Kurt Schrader sponsored and passed Senate Bill 677 to make Western Fireworks Display a conditional use in the EFU zone. Today, the bill we are considering, House Bill 2375, a bill that expires the permit, quote, upon the occurrence of sale or transfer of business and certain other circumstances. This is an important line, colleague, and certain other circumstances. I want to be clear on what those circumstances are. There's one section of the bill, however, that's great. It gives this business the opportunity in Section 1, Subsection A, may not be altered except to comply with lawful requirement for alteration in the use to satisfy a public health or safety requirement. That makes a lot of sense. We ought to give them the opportunity to change their business to meet public health and safety needs. Good idea. But let's talk about these certain other circumstances. And when we're talking about those circumstances, please consider any other business operator in Oregon upon whom these very circumstances might apply. And how would you feel if we were driving this home to them using these circumstances? The more damaging sections of the bill say things like this: may not be restored or replaced because of fire, other casualty, or natural disaster. We have members of this body who have professionally said, I'm going to fight fire. And I'm sure they've seen the travesty created. Our own family business burned down because of fire, and we're back because we had the opportunity to do that. We're saying to these folks, tough luck. If you burn down, you don't get another opportunity at your current location. Would any other business want to operate under those conditions? The permit must be discontinued on the date on which a change of ownership of any kind occurs. Colleagues, I'm fortunate enough to do and participate in a family business. I did have the opportunity to take a business that my family, my father, built after coming home from the Navy and giving his life's work to, and I'm carrying that forward. That ownership in this business would take away its opportunity to operate. Is it really our intention to take somebody out of business because they want to include others in that ownership opportunity?
Representative Gilman yields.
Thank you, Representative. Any change of ownership, transfer, conveyance, reorganization. Colleagues, why do we have rules and laws that allow us to be C corporations or subchapter S corporations or limited liability corporations? We have it because the rules apply to all of us. We want to take those things which create the best opportunity for business to succeed and employ people and put those to use. This bill takes away the opportunity for that business to use the very laws and rules that we pass in this building. We can't reorganize. Finally, and one of the most onerous, a new or additional mortgage, lien, or other encumbrance is secured by the building, structure, or land. Colleagues, what's left? The building, structure, or land, what's left? Interest rates change. A business needs the advantage of borrowing against their business. Are we really at the point where we're going to pick on one single business entity and say, rates have gone down, but you can't participate? I don't think that's what this body's intentions are, to say to a business, let's tighten the box around you to the point that the value is gone. I've said this before, this session ought to be about growing jobs, growing the economy, not finding ways to take a business and apply rules that will surely put people out of work. If you don't believe this bill affects jobs, just wait. One person dies, one fire. The county goes by and wants to put a sewer line in so they lien the property. Any of a number of things that normally have happen, in fact, that do happen because death will happen. All of those things take the permitting away. This bill will hurt this business. This bill will hurt the families who work for this business. And colleagues, I'd urge you to very carefully consider your vote on this bill. We need to be here creating an environment where Oregonians can go to work, where they have an opportunity to go to work, and where business has an opportunity to succeed. This bill, for one business, takes those opportunities away. Please vote no on House Bill 2375.
Further discussion, Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question to the carrier.
Question of the carrier, does the carrier yield?
Carrier yields.
He does.
Representative, maybe you could shed a little more light on the history here. How do we get to this point, and what is Western Fireworks Display's history with Clackamas County?
Thank you for the question. The first records Clackamas County has is September 19, 1985. I'll just read you the letter. This office has received comments from several neighbors expressing concern about development activity on the above-described property. These neighbors are concerned that you may be starting a commercial business, including the sale, manufacture, and storage of fireworks. This office has no evidence that such activity is occurring. This letter is written simply to apprise you of the current general agricultural zoning of the property, which precludes virtually all activities not related to farming. A copy of the zoning district is enclosed for your reference. The attorney wrote back, thank you for taking the time to meet with me last Friday. Our clients will be taking no further action with respect to property pending our preliminary determination of how we are going to legitimize the proposed use of the real property. While I recognize the difficult hurdle we have due to Oregon's restrictive land use policies for agricultural land, it makes no sense to have this business move out of our state. Same issues we're talking about today, folks. This was 1985. Then a letter was written back that said, you're going to need to go to the legislature. This was in 1986. You're not going to be able to legitimize the property through the county process. It's a state law. So instead of doing that, from 1986 to 1989, the business got temporary operating permits. those temporary operating permits allowed for the ability to continue operating. It was approved in 1985. The last one expired in 1989, and I'm quoting again from a letter from Clackamas County. The basis for approval of the last permit by the Planning Division, September 14, 1989, was that the applicant actively pursue an alternative to the temporary use. In reviewing ORS 215, it appears this change has never been approved and made law. So they ran out in 1989. From 1989 till 2002, they just continued operating anyway. They just continue operating unlawfully. In 2002, Clackamas County was called to come out and take a look at this unlawful operation of the property. In response to a complaint, representatives from the Community Environment Division were at the subject property on May 1, 2002, at which time access to the inspection of your commercial business was denied, and you indicated you would immediately have your attorney contact the county. As indicated in correspondence, the county considers the construction of numerous buildings, placement of shipping containers, and electrical wiring, all without the benefit of required permits, to be significant violations of county and state ordinances and specialty codes, and thus immediately need to be addressed. Enclosed is a violation notice, which allows you 30 days to allow the county to inspect all structures located on the subject properties and for you, your attorney, and the county to meet and develop a schedule for full abatement of these violations. The commercial operation of this business is in an EFU zone without land use approval is a violation and subject to a $1,000 civil penalty. And I have the violation notice. They then advise them again, you can't be here without a state law change. They operated, though, from 1989 to 2002 unlawfully, not seeking that change, not getting that change. In 2002, they contacted their representatives and senators who came to the legislature and convinced the legislature, our colleagues, some of us were here, not me, but some of us were, to adopt a one-time, for one company, special EFU exemption to be able to stay there after having been unlawfully there for 13, lawfully but told to look for alternatives for 3, and unlawfully there for at least a few months before the neighbors figured out what was going on. So that's the history of how Clackamas County interacted with these folks. Thank you.
Representative Shields, anything further? Further discussion, Representative Escoville.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues?
To the bill?
To the bill. Well, the question bill. Of the carrier first.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Of course.
He does.
Representative, and I want to say I appreciate you trying to preserve farmland, first and foremost. But you've done some extensive research on the record. When this conditional use permit went back to the county with the permission for the county to do so, they had to have had a public hearing. Did anyone object to this?
Representative, I actually don't know the answer. Post the legislative creation of the statute, they offered then they obtained a conditional use permit, and my research ended once the legislature adopted it. My understanding is that there, I've only heard that there was not objection after the legislature made it legal to operate there to the then conditional use permit. I only have hearsay on that, but I don't believe so.
Thank you. Colleagues, when this, to the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, when this session opened, our own speaker told us about the recession that it meant that Oregonians were going to have to suffer through some very tough times. We all agreed upon that. Little did we expect that one of the first bills would make it even tougher on a few. Faced with the prospect of record unemployment and record budget deficits, we are taking time to consider a bill, the sole effect of which would put a 60-year-old family business virtually out of business. And again, I applaud my colleague from Salem for wanting to preserve farmland. But the goal could have been achieved without the loss of these jobs. And without sending a message to business that you can't trust this government to keep its word.
Let me explain. Western displays started outside the city of Canby in the 1940s. The company puts on displays of fireworks for each and every one of our own communities. Rose Festival, Toledo Summer Festival, to just name a few. Western is a part of every one of our community, especially around the 4th of July. The company might be where it started today if it hadn't been that the city had grown too close. And the city did grow too close. And Western, on government asking it to, is my understanding, moved. So the government asked them to move because you're getting too close, because we have restrictions with your type of business. So Western did move. And Western obtained the permits that they needed to run the business that's been explained here. Of course, except the one. And by the time that we asked Western to move, storing aerial fireworks, and again, this is aerial fireworks. This is not some little thing you get at a corner stand during the 4th of July. This is the big stuff. So Western came and asked this body for permission to do so, since they had been there since 1985. Permission to let Clackamas County decide if Clackamas County wanted to keep this business in its present property. I repeat that. Permission to let Clackamas County decide if Clackamas County wanted to keep the business in its present property. We gave that permission for Clackamas County to proceed, and it's my understanding that only 13 members voted no. Clackamas County went through the land use process. It's also my understanding that not one single neighbor came in to object during the public hearing. Clackamas County approved, provided that the business made some improvements that the county wanted. The company did make those improvements. We find ourselves today with some members wanting to change their mind and take away the permission that has been granted by this body. This bill put special new conditions on Western that would ensure that the business will close. And that, colleagues, I don't believe we've ever done. We have laws to come into play when we take land use permission away. Under those laws, businesses and counties have permitted and been able to stay where they are currently located. In the past, when we've taken permission away of those existing statutes come into play, we do allow that. It's called grandfathering in. We even did that under Measure 49, letting permitted developments stay in place. We have never imposed special conditions on a business, let alone conditions designated to cause a business to close. This bill, in my opinion, is terribly unfair to one business. But the bill is also unfair to Oregonians who are counting on us to create jobs for them and for their families. What troubles me the most, colleagues, is that this bill sends a message that maybe you can't trust us. We need businesses to invest in Oregon. The governor has worked hard to attract businesses and keep businesses. Your regional economic development has done the same. But businesses will not move here if they learn that after they go to the trouble to get permission, and that's what has happened here, they got permission, not only locally, but from the state, to remain where they're at, that we strike that down with a stroke of a pen.
Representative Buckley yields.
Thank you, Representative. Today we're going to vote on this bill, but this bill is incredibly pointed. It's going after one business, and it's extremely unfair. This could have been resolved, I think, in a palatable manner, and we could have worked something out. We have chosen not to do that. Again, when we vote on this bill, remember what you're doing to 11 families, family wage job families. Remember what you're doing to the people that work temporarily for this firm during the summer. With that, colleagues, I urge your no vote on House Bill 2375.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative Clem, do you wish to close?
I do, Mr. Speaker. New colleagues, I know generally speaking, people don't change their minds once you're out here. What I do regret is that some of the research that I've been able to do, once I knew I was carrying the bill, has informed my views quite strongly about this opinion, more than just the principle of land use, and we're hearing some of that today, so I'm going to go through some of it with you. I do think that if my friend from Medford and I could work it out, we probably actually could. I don't know if any of the rest of you would vote for it or not, but he and I could probably come up with a pretty good solution. I think we still have an opportunity to do that. This bill is not done yet if it passes today, and I will continue to work with him on that. But I do want to answer some questions. So, A, we presume that they're going out of business. Really, what it is saying to, like many other businesses who accept for a legislative exemption for just one business, when they're in violation of a zone, the county makes them move. I had a constituent, he's not a constituent. I have a guy outside my district by a block come and say, hey, I'm running my landscape business out of a house in a rural residential zone, and the county found out. And I said, well, did you know that? Yeah, I knew it. He said, could you help me get some time to move? And I said, you knew it? No, I can't really get involved. I'm sorry. He had to move. He didn't ask me to sponsor a bill for him. He had to move. So he paid expenses. I've got another letter, folks, colleagues, excuse me. This just came in February 17th. Allow me to briefly introduce myself. I'm an Eastern Oregon sagebrush attorney. Land use is among the areas of my varied practice, and Homeland Fireworks, owned by Bruce Lawson, is among my clientele. I have watched with keen interest from afar as House Bill 2375, now amended, has progressed through the legislative process. My interest stems from representing Homeland Fireworks and Bruce Lawson at the local level as he struggled to comply with state and local land use laws in conjunction with his explosive and fireworks business. He gives a bit of background, similar issues. He outgrew the sort of cottage industry permit that he had. And eventually, he worked in conjunction, this is the attorney, with my client and Malheur County Planning to create an industrial overlay zone, effectively applying a new zone over the top of an existing EFU zone. This process was heavily scrutinized by the local regulatory authorities due to the unique request, the safety issues presented by a large-scale storage operation, and concerns to preserve and protect EFU lands in eastern Oregon. The process above described was successful, but not without cost. Mr. Lawson expended nearly 6 years' time and many thousands of his hard-earned dollars to accomplish the end product, a site in Malheur County which permits the storage of fireworks, preparation, and palletizing of fireworks. On behalf of Bruce Lawson and Homeland Fireworks, I urge you to level the playing field for this highly regulated and unique industry. Mr. Lawson's success establishes that such a business can comply with local state land use laws without preferential treatment. If I may provide further comment or insight, do not hesitate to contact me directly. David Butler, cousin to our former colleague Tom Butler. So the question is, will they move? For me, not will they go out of business, will they move? I had the Department of Land Conservation and Development produce for me a series of locations that are already zoned rural industrial. Every closed down mill, for example, due to a bill that happened a couple sessions ago. A large site near Molino called the Mattsburg site. The third one is south of Malala. Finally, there's an abandoned log storage site north of Estacada. The site next to Canby is good size and is comprised mostly of ponds and gravel mining, and there's a very good buffer around it. These are all currently zoned rural industrial. I suggest to you that current state law allows the existing fireworks factory to obtain a built and committed exception under rule. We call this a committed exception, and the standard is probably easier to meet than other types of exceptions when land is already developed. That is the case for the current fireworks factory. So the question is should they have to move then? Should they have to move? Well, they operated 13 years unlawfully on the piece of property. And then they got the legislature to pass a law to say this one company could stay. And colleagues, that's why this feels punitive to one company, because it's one company in the law that got the preferential land use decision. Unfortunately, it was ugly coming in, and it's fairly ugly in how we deal with it now, because it's one company. So in the end, I think what I, in talking to the representatives in this company about whether they should move or not, they said it's just too expensive to have to buy that industrial land. That's the fundamental issue here. Everybody thinks it's too expensive, the Hood River School District, the hospice outside of Eugene. So let's go buy up some farmer's cheap farmland and then place our business in the zone, even legally, but this was illegally, because it's cheap. Well, some of us work there. Some of us own property there. Some of us want to continue to conduct agriculture there. When Metro buys up cheap farmland for a park, it bids up the cost for us to be able to lease it from other people who are growers going out of the business. It is a problem to believe that because the cost of land in the UGB is expensive, the way you solve it is just go ahead and move on to farmland and then get a bill to fix your problem later. And it's offensive to people in agriculture that people don't consider agriculture, the second largest industry in Oregon, a reputable and legitimate industry. And thank you, colleagues, for the ones who acknowledged that principle today with me, because I think it's important. But I'm not sure that in this particular case that the one company this bill helped believes in the farmland preservation system entirely. The Oregon State Council of Firefighters came in and said they supported this bill because it's easier to deal with these situations when they aren't further stretched out from town. So then can you find appropriate places that are closer in but are zoned rural industrial, because industrial is set up for those things. So, colleagues, this is a tough decision because it affects one company and what happens to them. I suggest to you, they got there in a bad way. The legislature blessed it. This legislature is considering a policy of what happens. The original bill said, we take away your exception that was created in 03, and you have 1 year to move. We didn't do that. We created a series of tests that say you can essentially stay if you don't cross any of these lines, but you can stay. That's not what any of their competitors got. None of their competitors got this. My final and original point, I think, is in the very beginning, how did this happen in the first place? How did they get here in the first place? We were given a letter that was the whole basis for moving. And it was supposedly the Clackamas County Fire Marshal asked them to move. The problem is the letter's dated January 10th, 1986. They had already moved. And the letter isn't asking to move. It says, this office has inspected the area that Western Fireworks would like to move their operations to. The proposed area on South New Era Road is much better suited for the storage of fireworks than the new existing storage area on Southeast 13th. They had already moved, colleagues, several months earlier. This wasn't a request. And the largest confusion for me is it's actually not even addressed to this company. It's addressed to Wayne Scott's company, Western Fireworks. Thank you for considering the policy implications. Thank you now for considering the history of this company, which unfortunately I really didn't want to have to talk about what happened in Clackamas County because there's a principal involved. But I want to get your vote. Other companies don't get to move into zones illegally and then get the legislature to make it legal for them. I believe they can move like their other competitors have had to do. I believe they will stay in business. And I will say to the gentleman who asked me if I could help him get a break so he didn't have to move, I was consistent. Thank you, colleagues.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? Roblin votes no. House Bill 2375A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Colleagues, in the interest of time, we will entertain a motion to carry over the remaining bills until next week. So the chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that the bills remaining on today's third reading of House bills be carried over to their proper place on Monday, February 23rd, 2009, third reading calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. The chair requests unanimous consent that consideration of H.R. 2 be made a special order of business immediately following the order of business of special committee reports on Monday, February 23rd, 2009 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 75 relating to disability of the governor. Senate Bill 76 relating to Klamath River dams and declared an emergency. Senate Bill 130 relating to dietitians.
Bills read for the first time were passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills. Third reading of Senate bills. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Effective immediately, I am making the following appointments to the Joint Legislative Administration Committee. Representative Hunt, co-chair, Representative Hanna, Representative Maurer, Representative Nolan, Representative Roblin, and Representative Comp, alternate. Effective immediately, I am making the following appointments to the Joint Legislative Council Committee. Representative Hunt, co-chair, Representative Bentz, Representative Garrett, Representative Richardson, Representative Stigler, and Representative Barnhart, alternate. If you have any questions, please call Mara Hall in the Speaker's office. Further announcements, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in this chamber will be the presentation of the revenue forecast and the bond limit estimate. All Senate and House members are invited to attend. The Revenue Committee will convene at 10:45 for questions, so those who have questions of the State Economist or of the State Treasurer should plan to attend the meeting at 10:45 for those questions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further announcements? Remonstrances. Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We are now 39 days into this session. Before us looms an $800 million deficit that must be addressed in the next 4.5 months. At least that's what we were told yesterday. That's more than $6.1 million per day remaining in the biennium, and the severity of that ratio grows worse every day we do not act. Not even 2 years ago, promises were made to Oregonians, promises we could not keep. And now, like in every downturn of the economy, we have to break those promises. Make a promise, break a promise. Not a good record. Colleagues, amongst all the doom and gloom, I have faith that we can seize this opportunity to right wrongs and change the way we do business. We need to change the way we budget. We need to end the mindset that every dollar that rolls in the front door needs to be spent. We need to end the mindset that Oregonians are ATMs. We need to adopt the premise that transparency in spending and detailed fiscal reporting is good governance, not branch-to-branch warfare. And we need to adopt clear priorities for spending so when the economy turns south, we know where to focus. But those conversations have yet to start. We cannot tell Oregonians, especially when 1 in 10 can't find a job, that it's going to cost them more to buy a home, drink a beer, dig a well, go hunting, or even die, until we have the courage to tell them we are going to govern and budget with a new mindset. I want to reiterate the plea that was made by my colleague from the Oregon Christmas Tree District on Tuesday. Please, let's end the discussion about how to nickel and dime Oregonians for more until we first have a conversation about how to responsibly spend what we've got. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Jensen.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. Monday, February 23rd, 2009.
Representative Jensen moves that the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m. on Monday, February 23rd, 2009. Without objection, the House adjourns.